And let's stand for the reading and honoring of God's word. Yeah. Yeah. All right. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You can be seated. I'm actually going to pray real quick. So, Lord, again, thank you for this time you've given us, and just thank you for all these kids and the accomplishment that they've achieved. Lord, this is a big deal to memorize this much scripture, Lord, and to go through a whole Awana year of just growing closer to you and becoming more dangerous, God. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use us as such, that what we've taken in, Lord, that you would bring it out in a way that glorifies you and in the moments that you see fit. And God, we know that you're using these kids to do things, Lord, not just at some distant point in the future, but Lord, you're using them right now. And God, we thank you for that. And we thank you for the influence you allow us to have in their lives through the Awana ministry. God, now as we open your word, I pray that we'd all be blessed by it and we'd get something from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Israel, chosen people of God. And they, the nation as a whole, was an object lesson to those of us who the Lord knew would be saved. We see that all over the Bible. We see in Romans that it says that a true Jew is not one that's circumcised outwardly in the flesh, which we all know what that's talking about, but someone that's circumcised in their heart. So a true Jew is never just supposed to be a race or an ethnicity, although we do still believe here at Assurance Baptist Church that the Jews are the chosen people of God. But we know that God never just intended to save Jews, but that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was always Jesus' intention. That's why the Pharisees, they were puffed up with pride, thinking that they were better than other people simply because they were Jews. But Jesus said, if you were of your father Abraham, they took so much pride in the fact that Abraham was their forefather. If you were really a descendant of Abraham, then you would work the works of Abraham. And what was the work of Abraham? It was his faith. We know that we're justified by faith. Abraham didn't do anything to please God. He had faith, which pleases God. Well, why does God honor faith? Well, because faith honors God. Because faith is taking God at his word. Now, why do I say all that? Well, I say all that because here in this passage, we see that God had just brought them out from through the Red Sea out of Egypt. And we know that it only took them a day to get them out of Egypt, but that it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of them. And that's a picture of the Christian life. It took God one day to save you. But if anyone in this room thinks you're done being saved, I don't think anybody thinks that, but we have a long way to go. It's called sanctification. It takes God one day to separate us from the world, to declare us righteous, because it's nothing that we did. We are saved by works, by the way, but it's not our own works. It's the work of his son, Jesus Christ. And the moment that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were declared judicially righteous before God. There's nothing you can do for that. You don't get well before you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor so that you can get well. And that's what God did for us at salvation. But now he's going to spend the rest of your life, as long as he'll leave you here, sanctifying you and taking the world out of you. Because I said this Sunday, we don't just need enlightened minds. We need changed affections. You see, we're not just on our way to hell, but we love the things that send us there. And God will spend the rest of your life making you love him more and love sin less. And it's the work of the Spirit in your heart. But look what God says to the people of God after he brings them out of the land of Egypt. He says, "Hear, O Israel." This is called the Shema because the first word is hear, and in Hebrew, that's the word Shema in Hebrew. That's why it's called that. So here's the Shema that faithful Jews still pray twice a day. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one Lord." Who believes there's one God? Amen. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." A lot of people try to separate the three of those and exegete each word. The point is, it's not supposed to be three different words. It's saying, love God with all that you are. Yep. There's no part of you that should be held back from God. Why? Because you were made for God. Yep. And so how foolish is it to hold anything back from the one that you were created for? But look what God says First of all, you got to know that there's one God, and you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, how do we work that out practically? Well, God tells them what to do. And these words which I command thee this day, that's speaking of all his commandments. Moses goes on in Deuteronomy to give a lot of different ceremonial laws and civil laws and moral laws. We're not going to go over all that tonight because, again, I have 10 minutes and not 2 hours. Dan wishes that I had 2 hours, but I don't have that long. So it's just 10 minutes. But this is why God is telling him this. He's about to give him all the laws of the land for the Israelites so that they can be separate, set apart from the other nations. Because again, God is not trying to make us look good. He's using us to make him look good. And so now look what God says here. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know what he's saying? This should just become a normal part of our lives. It should just become a normal part of our lives. God doesn't say that people want to pat on the back sometimes because they show up to church. But the thing is, this isn't the game. This is practice for the game. We're coming into church that we can be sent out to reach a lost and dying world that's on their way to hell. Most people in these four walls don't need salvation. Most of the time. Now, we love it when visitors show up, and there's a lot of professing believers among us that aren't truly saved, because a profession of faith never saved anyone. Faith did. But the lost and dying world is out there. And so we come in here. I was talking to a couple people about it this morning. We come in here not so that we can sit around in our cliques and enjoy fellowship with each other while the world dies and goes to hell. We're in here so that we can be rejuvenated, because the world beats us up. And we deal with worldliness and secular things all week long, and the devil's beating us up, and people are beating us up, and all kinds of things are beating us up. And we come into church that we can get revitalized to go back out and do what our main mission is, which is the Great Commission. Amen. We come back to church that we remember that life isn't about us, because you know what it's so easy for us human beings to do? If eternity was a ruler that stretched from that wall to that wall, everyone with your fingers, participation please, show me with your fingers, if eternity was a ruler from that wall to that wall, what is a 100-year lifespan, if you even make it to that? Show me. It's nothing. You want to know what's crazy about us human beings? And this is what sin is, by the way. This is what sin is. People don't sin. No one lies because they love lying. People lie, steal, cheat, and to get to good things, we take shortcuts to get to them instead of trusting God to fulfill our desires. We try to fulfill our own desires. So what we're doing is we're living for this. See, eternity is out here in a 100-year lifespan, which most people in this room statistically won't even make it there. A 100-year lifespan is this. But instead of using this to contribute to this, we're living for this. That's the definition of meaninglessness. Living for this when you could be using this to contribute to this. Amen. And the Bible says here that you should talk about the laws of God when you lie down and when you stand. What does that mean? It should just be a daily habit. Do your kids only see Jesus when they come to church, or do your kids see Jesus at home? Wow. Later on in this passage, it says, and when your children, see, he says, bind these laws on your doorposts and in your inner chamber. And the Lord's just saying, you know, put the Ten Commandments everywhere so that they can see them as a testimony of what God has done for you. And then later on in the passage, I won't read the verse, but it says, and when they shall ask you, what meaneth these things? What are all these laws that are posted all over our door? Because, I mean, kids, they're born into the family. See, a lot of kids, this is why a lot of people depart from the faith, because they never really knew Jesus. They're just around him. So a lot of the parents in here, you know what it's like to be a prodigal. I mean, you was with the pigs. You know what it's like to be a prodigal and return home. And it's great in the father's house. But a lot of the kids, it's unfortunate. They become the older brother in the story. They never knew what it was like to be away from the father, but they don't really love the father. They love what the father's got. Well, how do you know that's what the older son wanted? Because as soon as the prodigal returned, he didn't say, thank God that my brother's back, because first of all, I just love my brother. Second of all, my father loves my brother. He's happy my brother's back. He didn't say that. He said, you haven't slain a lamb and made dinner or thrown a party for me and my friends. Have you? You know the story. Parable of prodigal son. Never really loved the father. And see, a lot of kids, it's a blessing growing up in a Christian home. But this is why it's important that we talk about what God has done for us, because again, Moses or God says, and when they shall ask you, what do these things mean? You come up in a Christian home and you're just told, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Why? Because here's what that's making them think. That's making them think that the gospel is this. God saved us, and so now because we love God, we do these things. But instead of teaching my kid that you're a depraved sinner and that God loved you so much that he sent his son to be beaten, slapped, spit at, and mocked, ridiculed, and crucified on a cross, and the third day, rise again from the dead, instead of teaching them that, let's just teach them to keep these rules. Because if I can get my kids to keep these rules, then suddenly, somehow, that means they love God, and also, this is one nobody wants to admit to, but it makes all of us look good when our kids act right. But look what God says right here. When they shall ask, what meaneth these things? You will say, this is from the day when the Lord brought us out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, because we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. Can you see the, do you see the parallel without me having to say anything? You see, kids, and I know I'm not a father yet. I hope I am someday, but I love the kids, all right? And I was raised in a Christian home. I get all that, and it's a blessing. But kids, you see, we were in bondage to sin. See, we were born with a sin nature. We weren't born as children of God. We're all creations of God. We're not all children of God. We're the children of Adam. And every time you sin, you're acting just like Adam because your sin nature was inherited from him. And so you're a slave of sin. I have free will. No, you don't. You're a slave of sin. Yep. You're a slave of sin. Well, then what am I supposed to do about that? Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And so God brings you out of the slavery of sin. And he cleans you up, brings you through the Red Sea, and gets you into a land that he's promised you. And now we have all these little kids that are, praise God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, raising them in a Christian home. But remember, the center of Awana and the center of every Christian home is the gospel.
Amen.
And so when they ask, why do we wear that? Why do we talk this way? Why do we look this way? Why do we go there? Why do we read that? Why don't we do this? Why can't I go there? It's not because I said so. It's not because it makes us look bad. It's not because, well, that's just what you should do. It's, well, because you see, we were the servants of sin. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we're not getting well before we go to the doctor. We've been to the doctor and he made us well. We don't serve God because we're better than anyone else. We love him because he first loved us. You see, we serve God out of gratitude. Because the gospel, because he saved us, because he brought us out of bondage, not of Pharaoh, of the flesh. We're slaves to ourselves. It says in 1 Peter that to whatever a man is overcome, to that he is its slave. You're either a bondage to God, or you're a bondage to God, you're either a slave to God, or you're a slave to sin. Seeing sin as freedom is slavery indeed. And being God is freedom indeed.
Amen. That's right.
And so it's just an encouragement to the parents that Jesus, the gospel, what we're teaching them in Awana, it's just to be an everyday part of life. And when they ask, why do we do these things? We don't come to church just so we can wear a suit and tie and look like Pharisees. The Pharisees are in hell right now. Everyone thought they were great while they were on earth, but they were living for this. And now, what shall it profit a man if they gain the whole world and lose their own soul? We do Awana so we can teach the kids, oh yeah, we do this, this, and that. But it's not because we're better than the rest of the world. It's because God saved us out of the rest of the world. And now we're teaching you this so that you can go back. Moses went back. He didn't enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He went back and saved his people.
Amen.
Through God saved his people through Moses. And that's God, he brought us out of Egypt so that we could help bring other people out of Egypt. Not the physical Egypt, but that's all I got.